The way they pronounce it.
Okay, could you maybe describe what happened there?
Yeah. We were pulled back at the time they captured that bridge. I don't remember where we was at when we got the news that they had captured the bridge. They gave us march order that night, in the middle of the night, and we drove all night to get there in the blackout. Mm-hmm. We set up on this end of the bridge to guard it. We protected it along with everybody they could get there. After we got most everybody across the bridge, it collapsed. Mm-hmm. They built a pontoon bridge across it. We crossed to the other side and set up on the other side of it as soon as we could get across. So that was the first time I ever saw a jet plane.
Hmm.
We had a target while we was up at the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
A German plane come over. We didn't get him either. Mm-hmm. He was so high, he just looked like a little speck. But he dropped his bomb, and it was another one of them fun things.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching him, and he released his bomb. We could see the bomb coming, mm-hmm. and it looked like it was coming right square at us. It missed us 2 miles. the speed and the high altitude, he just getting rid of it so he could hurry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't hit anything. It mounted anything, but anyway, it was one of them fun things that give us a little scare for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. When you said blackout, how would you drive during the blackout if you couldn't use lights?
However you could get there. They had little lights on the vehicles, just a little slit in a light so big, just a little slit that they'd light, and you could see them in front of you there, but they couldn't pick you up from above.
Oh.
We had officers in jeeps or whatever to lead us to wherever we'd be going.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we had to move in blackouts when you wasn't allowed to have headlights on or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Or any light. I suppose maybe some nights there would have been starlight.
Oh, yes. Or oh, sure. We had moonlight nights, and they was more active nights.
Mm-hmm. And if you were camped somewhere, that meant when you were in a tent or a foxhole, you couldn't have any kind of light either, right?
You better not.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be told that.
Your survival skills kick in pretty fast.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. We had the pleasure of picking a building at times. Infantry couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We never was on the front line. We were almost to it. They would break us down as tank destroyers whenever they'd have a breakthrough of a bunch of tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they'd pull us up for anti-personnel. We'd be right behind the infantry boys. But we wasn't on that front line. Mm-hmm. They had to be there night and day.
Mm-hmm.
We had a chance that we could get more rest than they did.
Yeah. And what is anti-personnel? It means that you are...
If they had an intersection someplace where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of machinery moving up or whatever the Germans are moving,
mm-hmm.
in this junction, we had fire, harassing fire into this junction.
Okay.
No target, just into this position to keep that traffic from moving.
Okay. Right.
And same way if they had the infantry that was tied down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime we could fire and help them out.
Okay.
That's usually when they would call in a plane, most generally, but there's always time that field artillery was their job, basically, but we was called in to help at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, communication between all of these different units, I guess I'll call them, was very important. How did they communicate?
They had linemen. They would have a communication group that lay down field lines for each battery. They had runners. They had officers with a little jeep would go where they needed to if they could get there.
Mm-hmm.
I know this captain I was telling you that come and lived with me, or to see me. He didn't come live with me. Mm-hmm. He just come. He had a little boy. We call him Jonesy, little bitty red-headed boy. And he was in a mission one time and hit a mine, killed a little boy, but it didn't him. Mm-hmm. He got it out all right. But then when Fred was back over there in Germany on a trip, he went back to the cemetery where little Red was at, because that was his little buddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you ever able, or did you even want to go back?
I didn't want to go back. When I was in Kansas City, the first reunion, or I think it was the first, they tried to get a group together then to go back, and there's a bunch of them did.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't choose to go.
Mm-hmm.
I had one guy that was on my gun crew, name was Jim Gibson from Alabama, and he come in as a replacement. He was quite younger than the rest of us boys. He went back with that group, him and his wife, but he said he didn't get to see what he wanted to see with the group. So later, him and his wife made a trip by themselves.
Oh.
And rented a car and said, we drove all over that country over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I enjoyed that a lot more than I did going with the group.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a little kind of a plaque, I call it. It's a shoulder patch that my captain sent to me after he was back in Belgium. They issued this to our boys in commemoration with the group that liberated them.
Mm-hmm.
And he forgot till he was back. He said, I should have got a bunch of them to give the boys, but I never thought of it. He called back over there to get them to make some more for us, and they wouldn't set up their mint again to make it. But he took a picture of it, and I've got it.
Oh, I see.
In this little picture on the wall here.
I see that. Yeah.
It's just a shoulder patch is mm-hmm. what it is, but he took a picture of it with a computer and mm-hmm. sent me that.
Mm-hmm.
So we framed it because that's all we got. But it was the state of Belgium issued it to our unit.
Because they were so appreciative of,
yes.
mm-hmm, of what you had done. This may be an odd question, but as you were over there and you saw everything working, the communication and all the units and all the planning, was it sort of amazing to see that work done?
I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in communications, so I didn't see a lot of it. They had their radios at that time, there's some, but they always had to have it had to be so secret.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody had his job. We had a communication group in our battery. Now, like I said, it was made up of five batteries, four batteries plus headquarters battery. And there was about 160 some men in each battery, so mm-hmm. that we had the communication system, had the radar equipment. We had all of this. They had their jobs to do. I was on the big gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ever did do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the only job I ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the fuse setter. I don't know. That's where they put me at the beginning, and I never did ever change.
Now, did people name guns like they named their planes?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't remember that we had... I don't remember we had that name for ours.
Mm-hmm.
I know... There's one in the Belgian breakthrough, in that breakthrough down there at Bulge. We lost some of our equipment there, and we recaptured it later.
Oh, okay.
And it was number 2 gun and B battery, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had the guns numbered, so everybody knew what number they belonged on and all.
So you were the fuse setter. How many other people were there on that gun?
We had about 8 or 9, I think. We had the ammunition crew. We had the gunner, the fuse setter, azimuth and elevation setters. Mm-hmm. Then we had a prime mover, they called it, to pull the gun. It was part of that group, the truck driver.
Mm-hmm. Were you close to that gun when it went off?
Was sitting on it.
You were sitting on it.
It had a platform.
Okay.
I've got a picture of it someplace.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's in that group of stuff or not.
I didn't see any photographs in here.
I've got it. Shirley's got it. I know if I don't have it in here.
Okay, so how long is what I'll call the barrel of the gun?
21 feet.
21 feet. And where's the platform there?
The platform, see, it. Whenever it was in march order, we put it up on dolly. They got two, just like a rear end of a truck.
Mm-hmm.
We raised it up and set it on that, and it secured it and pulled it just like a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
When it was set down, it had outriggers and then a platform. We have to dig that in if we had, if we have time.
Right.
We'd dig it in and sandbag around it for protection.
Mm-hmm.
The gun weighed 9 tons.
Mm.
That's how big it was. So whenever we was getting it prepared to move, well, then we had to take it down and put it in what we call march order.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had their job to do at that time, but when it was in action, why, these, the azimuth and elevation, that's up and down, there was a,
right.
We had pointers, and we got all of that from the radar equipment.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a plane coming in, they had to pick it up, declare whether it was enemy or friendly.
Mm-hmm.
How fast it was going, how high it was.
Mm-hmm.
They set all of that on the computer.
Okay.
And then we call it the same as a computer now. But they send that data to our guns,
mm-hmm,
by cable, electric. And our job was then to match these pointers with their signal.
Mm-hmm.
And that give us where to set the fuse.
Okay, all right. Now, did you have protection on your ears?
They told us to wear them, but you couldn't hear. You couldn't hear the orders or what you needed to hear, so I never wore them. That's the reason I'm hard hearing. This ear don't work at all, but this works pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn my head like this whenever I'm talking to you.
Well, it's not noticeable that you're hard of hearing.
Is that right? Yeah. Everybody else notices it.
Really? No. Uh-uh.
When I'm talking to somebody where I can watch them,
mm-hmm,
I can understand most all of it. But somebody else in the room, I won't never know what they said.
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble with. VA give me a hearing aids, but I don't like to wear them, so I don't do that either.
Well, when you were setting fuses, did you have to set a lot in a short period of time?
No.
No.
One at a time.
Okay.
It fired one at a time. I wish I had that picture. I've got a little green book that was issued to me, and Shirley's got it. She had it down there the other day in Conway. It's got a picture of the gun on it.
Mm-hmm.
This platform sits down. The gun rotates on this,
mm-hmm,
on this pedestal.
Right.
It's got a seat by each clock.
Mm-hmm.
Azimuth, elevation, and fuse. Whenever we get orders to fire, they put the shell, fixed ammunition shell,
mm-hmm,
into this tube.
Right.
Then whenever I got everything matched, I'd give the order to cut. They set the fuse with a crank. There's one by sets there and turned this crank to set that so many seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would give you the order to fire while they would load that shell then into the breech.
Okay.
They would set the breech and then fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was part of the seizure. And then we had our ammunition crew that took the shells away, empties away, and kept us in live ammunition all the time.
What, was it dangerous to...
What?
Well, I mean, did anything ever go wrong with that gun where it would...
We never had it to happen, no. But yes, the potential was there, I suppose. If you dropped it on the nose or something like that, it could be dangerous. But we never did ever think about it. We didn't do anything from the time we got up till we went to bed that wasn't dangerous, so we never give it much of a thought, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of interesting. We got quite a record. We got quite a record behind us, and it's kind of interesting that I can remember one time when we was back there in Belgium, when we set up waiting on equipment, we got a plane come over in broad daylight. Come over and they tracked him for a long time. Finally, he wasn't sending the right data, so finally they give us fire. We knocked him down. He was an English plane.
Hmm.
And he bailed out, and one of our officers went over some other part of the country over there to check on him to see what went wrong. And he was an English pilot. And he said, I've never seen such act in my life. Said, I've been in a lot of it. Said, that was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he just wasn't doing his job. He wasn't sending the right data. He just dozing on his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he got shot down for it.
Mm-hmm. So if it were had been our plane, or he should have been sending certain...
Right. Okay. We had to change the data every so many seconds to keep the German from picking it up.
Oh.
They pick it up and they could control us.
Right.
But we had to change it ever so often, and they just kept sending signals, and he never returned them.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was our own planes, but he wouldn't give us the right signal.
Mm-hmm.
So finally they shot him down.
Yeah.
He wasn't hurt. He bailed out and was hurt, but he said he'd never been in such a cock in his life as he was there. But the shells would explode at the designated time, whether it hit a target or not.
Mm-hmm.
If it hit on contact, it would explode, or so many seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to get a direct hit in order to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I read in here one of these where the number of things that you destroyed and the accuracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was some of the sheets after we got out. They let us, I believe we got got credit for 16 tanks, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
You might have remembered better than me if you read it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how many planes we got credit for.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of them.
Well, it must have been a good unit.
We thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was the best. We was used in so many, many different things because we were good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you have to be proud of that.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're back here.
That's right.
That's why we're back here.
That is right. Okay, well, I've taken enough of your time. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think would be important for people reading this in the future about your experience or your thoughts?
My, I don't know. I don't guess there was anything that wasn't important, but to pick one, no, I don't guess I would have. I didn't do anything outstanding. I done just like a million other guys. I just tried to stay here, stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Mm-hmm.
Never got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I was protected a lot more than I ever knew I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if there isn't anything else.
I don't know of anything that would help you. I've been very, very fortunate, I think, in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
My son went through a war that was terribly dangerous. And he come home sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home sound. So I don't know how you could ask for much more than that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this off now. But I'm first I'm going to Let's see. I'll give the date again. June
6th.
No. Today, June the 20th.
Okay.
Is it June the 20th?
Tuesday.
Yeah, June 20th, 2006.
Okay, yeah. Is it the 20th?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, this month's about gone again.
I know. And Marvin Clark.